James chapter 1, if you have your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, find one, and please, and turn with me to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And last Sunday afternoon, we began to look into this subject of handling temptation, how to handle temptation. What we talked about by way of introduction last week was that the Bible tells us that God does not tempt any man with evil. That's in James 1:13. But God does bring and allow testing into my life. And the testing that God brings into our life is to help strengthen our faith. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. But when our faith is tested, in that moment, in that time, maybe it not just necessarily a moment, but it could be over a period of weeks, months, and even years for that matter, Satan is also nearby waiting for that moment when we, in the middle of a testing from God, begin to doubt God, begin to question God, begin to, instead of thinking about what God is doing and trying to mold and shape us, we let our guard down. And that's when the enemy can come in and use maybe even a testing time and turn it into a time of temptation. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. But we can be ready. We can be on guard. It doesn't always happen that way. That's one example. Obviously, if you are a born-again Christian, praise God, you have been sealed by God's Holy Spirit. You are on your way to heaven. Satan can do nothing about that. He cannot take you from the Father's hand, John chapter number 10. You are secure in Christ. And I'm glad to be able to tell you that. The Bible teaches that. And so we're grateful for that. And we need to always have that in the forefront of our heart and in our mind. I am secure in Christ. And that can be your testimony as if you're saved as well. But that doesn't mean that the enemy just says, okay, well, so-and-so, they got saved, and so, you know what, we're going to leave them alone now. The attack of the enemy is not going to stop, okay? It's going to continue on and on and on and on. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we learned last week about handling temptation from the book of James. Maybe you remember what we were looking at last week. The main point that we were looking at was we were considering God's judgment. God's judgment. Now, the thing about God's judgment is he is a God of love. He does love. No one loves like God. God is love, 1 John 4:8, the Bible tells us. And as I said earlier today, we love him because he first loved us. But part of God's nature as well is that he is a God of judgment. In other words, he is righteous. He is a righteous God. And so there is going to come judgment from doing wrong. Galatians 6:7 can be looked at in a couple different ways. But Paul writes, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now that can be looked at in a positive way. Let's sow to the Spirit and we reap fruit. We reap life everlasting. We reap joy unspeakable and full of glory. But if we sow to the flesh, then we reap destruction. And so that can go both ways. But we looked at God's judgment and we looked at several words that all begin. I'm just going to try to get through this quickly. We looked at several words that all begin with the letter D. You remember them? It's been a long week. It's only 325. It's a short week right now, right? The week just started. And that's right. I heard someone in the peanut gallery here give us the first one, and that is the word desire. The word desire. And we said that in a sense, there is nothing wrong with desire. We have been given that naturally. We see that in verse number 14, But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And that's what the word lust is. It's a desire for something. I was told yesterday by someone that they have a desire for chocolate. Does anybody else have a desire for chocolate out there? And, okay, we've even got some amens on that one here. Wow, okay. Now I know what to preach on. So there's a desire for chocolate. There's a desire for whatever you may think of. But we have to be careful, because when our desires are satisfied outside of God's will and God's way, that's when we have a problem. And that's when it's going to lead to the next thing. And the next thing that we looked at was the word deception. Deception. Same verse. But every man is drawn away. But every man is tempted when he was drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And remember, we talked about, what did we talk about? We talked about somebody trapping an animal. We talked about somebody baiting their hook. And you know what? I had somebody actually, it's amazing how these things happen. I had somebody yesterday showing me pictures of this massive fish that they caught. It was about that big, I think it was. Wasn't that right out there? Who was it was showing me that? We won't say who it was. But I think the fish was literally is about that big. I mean, it was a whopper. And you know how they caught that fish? They said, "Here, fishy, fishy, jump on the hook." No, that's not how it works. They put a worm on that hook, and they stuck the hook in the water. And the fish couldn't resist. Why? Because the fish are so hungry. You know, poor fish. Now he's got a pain in the jaw for the rest of his life. Well, in all seriousness, no, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's grabbing whatever desire that you may and I may have, and he's trying to twist that. He's trying to deceive us when we're drawn away. You know, no fish. I know a fish doesn't have much of a brain. But it's amazing, though, what the salmon can do, that inborn thing in the salmon to swim upstream and all that. But anyway, if there's a way a fish could see the end of the story, you know what the end of the story is? It's my barbecue, okay? It's wrapped in foil, and I'm eating it for dinner. If there's some way a fish could do that, he might not bite that hook. The devil's trying to destroy you, friend. The devil's trying to destroy me. He doesn't care what it takes. And so there is desire, there's deception. And then once that deception gets in there and takes root, then we talked about disobedience. In verse number 15, it says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." There it is. So it's not even the desire that is the problem. It's when the desire conceives. And we talked about a baby being born. We talked about birth being born. Talked about the birthing process in the sense of this way, that what is happening in our life. The desire is there, and it's a good thing in a sense, but when it is what I want and not what God wants, then that's when the disobedience comes in. And then the last one we looked at in verse number 15 was death. And that's exactly where Satan is trying to take us. So in a sense, last Sunday afternoon, we talked on a more of a negative sense of overcoming temptation, thinking about the judgment of God, which we would say would be a negative way. I'd like to talk to you, speak to you from this passage tonight, today, about God's goodness. God's goodness. Overcoming temptation, considering not only God's judgment, but number two, today, considering God's goodness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the opportunity to continue this series. Just a short one, but to continue this thought about overcoming temptation. Please, God, empty me of myself. Fill me with your Spirit. Empty every listener the same way. Fill them the same way. May you be glorified in all of this. And just really, God, take control of this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. God's goodness. One of the enemy's tricks, one of the enemy's deceiving tactics, is to convince you and to convince me that God is not giving us what we really need. God isn't taking care of us. God isn't loving us. And we talked a little bit about this last Sunday when Satan approached Eve and began to place doubt in Eve's mind. Yea, hath God said. You know, is God holding out on you? Is God really telling you the whole story? Why are you not allowed to have the fruit of the knowledge of tree of good and evil? Because God knows if you have that, then you're going to be as gods. and again, trying to put a seed of doubt in Eve's heart to the goodness of Almighty God. Well, I'm going to tell you this afternoon, I believe wholeheartedly that the goodness of God is a barricade against yielding to temptation. Folks, there is no way, if you're saved, that you can not have not seen the goodness of God in your life. God is good. God takes care of us. Why would we need anyone or anything else to take care of our needs? And we see this from a verse that we've quoted many a times. Look at James 1:17. James 1:17. We're in our text there. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's goodness. It is better to be hungry in the will of God than to be full outside of the will of God. God is good. God takes care of you and God takes care of me. You see, when I begin to doubt the goodness of God, then I open myself up to the offers of the enemy. And the offers of the enemy are just designed for me. And the offers of the enemy, he has a separate design for you. And he has a separate design for your spouse. And he has a separate design for your kids. And that the enemy has all kinds of offers. And he's got them packaged up. And the minute that I begin to think God is no longer good in my life. And how could God allow this to happen? And how could God do this? And how could God do that? And it happens every day across the globe. And Christian, I'm talking to born again believers right now. That Satan wants us to doubt the goodness of God. But let's tonight, let's today, let's this week, let's make a concerted effort to focus on the goodness of God, to focus on the blessings of God. He has given you and me richly all things to enjoy. I submit to you, the goodness of God, to remember and consider the goodness of God is an excellent way to overcome temptation. It's an excellent way to be able to say no to the enemy. No, God's too good. I don't need your gimmick. I don't need your ploy. I don't need your trick. I don't need your sin is a pleasure for what? A season. I don't need this pleasure for a season. Yes, it looks like a candy stick. That's really what Satan's offering. Just something that it's going to give you just a little bit. It's just a little sweet taste. But then there's something that comes as a result of that. And so tonight, this afternoon, if you will, let us focus tonight, today, on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. You see, Moses even warned Israel not to forget God's goodness. Hold your place in James 1. And let's go back quickly to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are the first five books in your Bible. They were all written, humanly speaking, by a man by the name of Moses. That's right. Moses wrote them. Of course, God's Spirit told Moses what to write, but he was the human penman of the book of Deuteronomy, all the first five books of the Bible, including Deuteronomy. And here we see that God is telling the people of Israel, when you go to the promised land, now, what is the promised land a picture of? You remember? The promised land is not a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. They left Egypt, which was a picture of the world. They wandered, which they didn't have to wander so long, but they doubted God's goodness. They doubted God's power. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan, right? Only Joshua and Caleb said, let's go, let's do it. God's going to give us the victory over these ugly 10-foot giants and so forth. But yet everybody else, they looked past the beautiful grapes and everything that they brought back. And all they could think about was the monsters in Canaan and big old guys and people over there. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go forward. Well, you know the story. They wandered and wandered and wandered and wandered. But eventually, God, in his mercy and grace, brought them to Jericho. And, you know, the walls came tumbling down and so forth. But God is telling them, when you get into the promised land, it's a warning. You know, there's something about this to consider for our life as well. Let's look at this. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, notice, which thou buildest not. Think about the goodness of God. Think about all that God has given you, that God has given me. Really, I'm so undeserving of God's blessing. I'm so undeserving of God's goodness. I look back and I read, oh, I've been reading, obviously, God's Word, but I'm reading about people that paved the way in Christianity with their blood. And I think, man, all these people that were martyred, standing for truth and standing for right. And by the way, not just in communist countries. You realize how many Christians were martyred in England? I mean, read church history. Whatever country you think of, when you think of communism, China might be one. There's many others. But whatever country you think of, this is England. Read about it. Christians there refusing to have their babies sprinkled and refusing to follow the way of the state church and believing the word of God to be the absolute authority and et cetera, and burn at the stake and gave their life. Folks, I'm just saying, we in North America today, we have so much that God has done, and yet even in these countries where it's seemingly for us unbelievable persecution, they would look at it and say, we're blessed too. Amazing, isn't it? God says, now I'm going to give you cities that you're not even going to build. But be careful, because when you get there and you start to experience the blessings and you forget the goodness of God, dangerous. Verse 11. Houses full, listen to this now, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. I mean, you walked into this situation where you walked into someone's house and there's nobody there. They're gone. And everything's there and you can use it. Wow. Wells digged, which thou diggest not. That's quite the word, isn't it? That's a hard one to say. Vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. I mean, you walked in and, I mean, here's row after row after row after row of grapes and all the rest of it. You planted none of them, and they're here for you. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, notice these next two words, then beware. Now, I don't think this is just for going into Canaan. I think this is for you and me in 2021. Beware, we have the privilege of looking, or open your eyes, church. Open your eyes, Pastor Turner. Open your eyes, church family, to the goodness of God. It should help prevent us from saying yes to the flesh and yes to the devil and yes to the world. Why? Because we don't need anything better than what God has for us. Notice verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Oh, my. To me, this is the key verse 12. It's one we ought to make note of and underline. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. From the house of bondage, pardon me. Who brought you out of the house of bondage? Who brought you and set your feet on the got you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a rock? Who did that? God did that for you. God brought us out of the world, and God brought us out of Satan's bondage. And today we are free in Christ. We are free in the goodness and mercy of our God. And because of that, why would we want to mess around with the devil? Why would we want to mess around with what he has? Let's not forget the goodness of God. I really believe the goodness of God is a way for us to escape falling into sin from temptation the enemy brings. Verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the land which Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Verse 12 is really the key verse there, and I want to just encourage you with that. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Let's go back to James chapter 1. We're talking about this afternoon considering the goodness of God. And number one, as we consider the goodness of God, four facts about the goodness of God. Number one, God gives only good gifts. You say, hold on. I can think of a few that I wouldn't consider good. But see, the thing is, you and I look at them differently. We need to be looking at what God has brought into my life with his eyes, not with mine. I would agree with you that there are many things that are in my life that I would say are not good. But then I must stop and I must consider Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. By the way, that's not a verse you can just tag onto everybody's life. You realize that verse is for the believer. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you're listening tonight, God loves you whether you're a believer or not. God wants you to be saved. But Romans 8:28 is a promise for believers. Believers in Christ, born-again Christians. And so God gives only good gifts. Everything good in this world has come from God. It's good according to what God, how God deems it. If it comes from God, it is for eventually working together for good, even if immediately it doesn't even seem to be that. Now think about it. Paul talks about it a little bit for us back in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's see what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think maybe you know these verses. If not, it'd be good to write them down, mark them. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. I say, what does Paul say? I say they're good. I take pleasure in them. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in necessities. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in distresses, but I take pleasure in it for Christ's sake. Why? Because whatever God does, it's good. It's for good. Then he says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. God gives good gifts. They work together for good. Number two, let's go back to our text, James 1. And number two, as we consider God's goodness, and why are we considering God's goodness? So that we can say no to temptation. Right? Last week, consider God's judgment. This week, consider God's goodness. Again, why would we want what the devil is offering, or my flesh, or the world is offering, when God is good? And everything that God has is for my good, for his glory. Look what it says in James 1 and 17 again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Number two, the way God gives is good. The way God gives is good. We could say that every act of giving is good. Some can give us in a manner that is less than loving. The value of a gift can be diminished by the way it is given to me. But when God gives us a blessing, he does it in a loving and gracious manner. When God gives us a trial, he gives it to us with our benefit in mind. When God allows Satan to come in and try us as he did Job. And then one after another, hast thou considered my servant Job, an upright man, one that escheweth God and feareth evil? And so God, the way God gives is good. Not just what God gives, but how God gives. So God gives only good, for good. The way God gives is good. Number three, he gives constantly. So it's not just one time and that's it. He gives constantly. Where do we see that? We see that from the two words in verse 17, cometh down. Cometh down. Cometh down is a present participle. What does that mean? Here's what that means. It means it keeps on coming down. So the goodness of God is not just for James. It's not just for Paul. It's not just for Peter. It's not just for the first century and the second century and the third century Christians. It's for us in 2021. God's goodness keeps on coming down. Repeatedly, day after day after day, it keeps on coming down. He doesn't occasionally give to you. He doesn't occasionally provide for me. I had something to eat today. I have clothes to wear today. I have a roof over my head. I have a car. That doesn't mean I'm blessed more than you, but I have a car. You rode the bus today. You have a home. You have an apartment. You had a meal. Think about it. Every day, God's goodness keeps coming down. It's constant. See, the devil comes in and he says, let me give you something in the immediate. And that only gives us an immediate burst, but it then brings, remember, death. God is consistently and constantly doing good for you and good for me. Why? Because remember, everything about God is love. Cometh down means it keeps on coming down. Even when we do not see the goodness of God, it's coming down. Don't let the devil blind you because something is challenging you or a difficulty is in your view and that's all you can see. Shove that aside. It doesn't mean it goes away, but shove it aside and get some different glasses on and say, oh, there, yeah, I see the goodness of God. It's always been there and it's always going to be there. He never fails. He takes care of us. He provides for us. You see, when we focus on the goodness of God, it helps us to say no. Consider God's goodness. But then number four, God's goodness does not change. No variableness. You see that in verse 17? No variableness. There are no shadows with the Father of lights. It is impossible for God to change. He cannot change for the worse because he is completely holy. It's impossible. He cannot change for the better because he's already perfect. The light of the sun varies on the earth as the earth changes. But the sun itself is still shining. If shadows come between us and the Father, he did not cause them. God is the unchanging God. This means that we should never question God's love and never doubt his goodness when difficulties come or temptations appear. Again, God is there with you. God is there with me to help us to overcome. God's goodness does not change. You say, somebody in my family died last year or already this year. That doesn't change the goodness of God. I have an incurable disease right now. It doesn't change the goodness of God. There is no variableness to the goodness of God. Notice what it says, neither shadow of turning. God's goodness is not to be compared with a challenge that would come into your life. Remember, the challenge that God has allowed into my life is considered good, for good, for good. first barrier against temptation that we looked at last week was the judgment of God. The second barrier that we look at today is the goodness of God. You can choose today to obey Him because He might chasten you, or you can choose to obey Him and say no to temptation because He's already been good to you and because you love Him. God is faithful. Turn to Genesis 39 quickly. Genesis 39. Verse 7. Life of Joseph. Life of Joseph. Boy, did he ever have a challenge in his life. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. We talked about this a little while back. And said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, that he hath committed all that he hath in my hand." So temptation is there. "There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." And here it is, it's a good review. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who?" And sin against God. Joseph said, "There's no way. I have everything." In other words, my master has given me everything in the house but you. Why would I want something else when he's given me everything that I need? And we could take that and we could bring that into our life in the same way. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to you. Yes, in 2020, God was good to us. In 2021, God is good to us and will be good to us. And yet Satan is coming and he's sitting on your shoulder, supposedly, and he's speaking in your ear and saying, "Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do this?" What we need to do is we need to say the same thing that Joseph said to Mrs. Potiphar. We need to say, "God has already given me everything. Why would I want what you have to offer? God has given me a peace that passeth all understanding. Why would I want what you have to offer? God has given me a family. God has given me a church. God has given me his word. God has given me everything that I need. Why would I want to do that and sin against the one who loves me and has given me everything?" You see, when we begin to focus on the goodness of God, it's another barricade to saying no to temptation. You see, that's one thing that I think of. I think I'll wait and give you the third one next week, God willing, but I'm not done yet. Don't turn off yet. That's one thing I like to think of about being thankful. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks." 1 Thessalonians 5, I believe. 18. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You see, ladies and gentlemen, I really truly believe this tonight, that the more thankful we are, the more prepared we will be when temptation comes. Because why would we want when we're already? You see, when we're covetous, not good. Right? That's one of the commandments, thou shalt not covet. We want this, and we want that, and we want that. You know what? I believe we're set up. Oh, it might be just something in the sense of, we might look at it as not that big of a deal, you know. But, oh, you know what? The devil's not concerned about the not that big of a deal attitude. He wants you to have the not that big of a deal attitude because he's setting you up. He isn't just concerned about phase one. He has phase 10 in mind. And he's just knocking you over and knocking me over phase 1 through 9 because 10 is really, really wants you and he wants to devour you when you get to 10. You think, wait a minute, it was just something simple. At least it is, so it seems. So tonight, this week, let's consider. Oh, listen. Close your ears. To Mrs. Potiphar. I'm not saying in that particular sin. I'm saying in anything. Close your ears. How can I do this and sin against God when look what he's done for me? How can I go this direction when God's already given me everything? I'm, by the way, I'm preaching to me right now. I'm preaching to a, what is that, a Casio camera. I'm preaching to me. I need to hear this. I need to say, when the devil comes to Ben Turner and he tries to tempt me about this desire or that desire, I need to say, how can I do that and sin against God? God, look what God has done for me. I am not worthy of what God has done for me, but I recognize God is good. And his gifts keep coming down. The goodness keep coming down. I don't deserve it, neither do you. But it's a fact. My life, not because I can say I'm blessed by God. So as God's blessings come on my life, I give him the glory for it, and I can be a blessing to others. You can be dying of cancer and have the ultimate blessing of God. Yes, it's true. You can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because God is with you. His rod and his staff are comforting you. And that doesn't mean that God isn't good to you. God is good to you in those moments. And you can have the rug pulled out from under you, and so to speak, and not know when something is coming. And yet, because you're walking and talking with the Lord, you can, yes, you can, you will hurt. And yes, there is emotional issues that can come. And I've been through them and you've been through them. But we never want to question the goodness of God. And if we do, quickly say, sorry, God. You brought me out of Egypt. You brought me out of bondage. You've given me this. You've given me that. You've given me this. And I'm not talking about houses and lands. I'm talking about the things that are eternal. You've given me these. Oh, dear Christian, it's time for us to rise up in 2021 and be able, as we focus, number one, God's judgment, yes.